a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, hello, hello. So we are on home time. I just want to give you greetings and salutations. This is the first Thursday of the month of August, as I am enjoying being in the desert with these almost 100 temperatures that I'm experiencing. It reminds me back when I used to live in Phoenix, 100, 110, 120. I just didn't know that the cactuses were going to follow me back to New England. You just have to be careful. If you turn around too fast, they'll let you know that they're there. So on this first Thursday of the month, as always, we are going to have none other than the one and only, can we have a drum roll, please? Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Matt is every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 at WMNH. 95.3. You can listen to him on the dial, or you can dial up the internet. Some of you there remember you used to have to dial up the internet. Some of you may not know what I'm talking about. It does tell you something about my age. But you can dial up the internet at mattconnerton.com or at ipmnation.com, and you can listen to his radio show wherever you are, this drive time show, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when Matt Connerton becomes unleashed. Then we leash him up and we walk him over here once a month to the Dr. Kevin Show. So Matt, should I leave you on or off the leash today? What do you think?
Well, it's awfully hot to be running around with a leash.
I was thinking a leash and nothing else. Would that help?
Well, I'm quite shy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very modest.
Okay. I just thought, you know, if there was a breeze, it would cool you off better. But anyways, so Matt and I always talk about what's going on in the world. It's Matt's everyday thing, but once a month he comes and brings his wit, his wisdom, and his insights. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can do so by calling 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. And you can ask us or share with us whatever you'd like, as long as it is respectful. So, Matt, how are you doing? How are you surviving this heat?
Well, fortunately, I'm not someone who is as bothered by the heat as a lot of people are. I can weather it pretty well, pun fully intended. For me, it's always been a matter of if I feel too hot, if I feel that the heat is becoming too oppressive, I just think about winter and how much I hate the cold, and I immediately begin to feel better. So, I do okay with it. I'm not as bothered by it as some people, but it is important for people to take it seriously and to stay safe and stay hydrated. That's for sure. If I'm not mistaken from what I had seen, although I haven't looked at the forecast today, but I think that for our area today is supposed to be kind of the peak of the current heat wave that we're in. It got to be 100 degrees here.
Yep. It got to be 100 degrees here. We're not that far apart from each other. That's what I heard. I heard that was also the end of the heat wave. You know, I'm good up until the mid to high 80s. I can even do the low 90s. I mean, we're still in at 88 and 92, walking outside in the woods, doing clients, you know, did my radio show outside walking, and that was not, it was, but you get 95, 96, you get 100. I'm sitting in an air-conditioned room for this show to this week. I just will admit I have wimped out. I am not outside walking in the 100-degree weather. So, what has been going on Matt Connerton Unleashed? What are the hot stories that you want to kick around with me this month?
Well, today, And I wasn't even sure exactly. I had a, you know, sometimes my show, I'll come in with, I usually have five or six different things on the agenda. And then, depending on how things go, we might end up getting only one or two of them, or none of them. We might get completely sidetracked. I keep it fairly loose, and, you know, I take calls and I have an open chat room. And so sometimes we get on to things that maybe I hadn't intended, or maybe we end up spending a lot longer on something than I had intended. So today's show, for example, again, I had, you know, because there's always plenty going on, I had a bunch of things prepared, but it ended up being all about, well, it started out about Alex Jones, and I didn't even get to most of what I wanted to talk about with Alex Jones, but we got sidetracked by somebody called about Brittany Griner, and that got us onto that. And so then the show, kind of the second hour, ended up being all about Brittany Griner. Not that I'd finished my things that I even wanted to talk about Alex Jones. Not that I'm complaining about any of it. It is a wonderful problem to have. I love that I have an audience that is engaged, and I like the spontaneity of, you know, being able to shift gears. Yeah, those were the kind of the two big things today. This Alex Jones story, with what has been going on in court with him, with the, you know, his lawyers accidentally sent 3 gigs worth of data, including 2 years worth of text messages, to the attorneys representing the families that are suing, and then it turns out that now the January 6th committee wants all of that as well, because they want to know, you know, whatever they can find about his part in January 6th. So it's pretty interesting. Jenny showed me last night, because I hadn't seen it, but Jenny had showed me, because she's been watching it much more closely than I have, the moment in court where the attorney for the other side informs Alex Jones, hey, so you know how I know that you lied and perjured yourself when you said that there were no text messages regarding Sandy Hook? Well, your attorneys accidentally sent us all your text messages regarding Sandy Hook. And Alex Jones even acknowledged it as the attorney's Perry Mason moment. So a lot going on there that's pretty interesting. But then we got on to Brittany Griner, and, you know, she was sentenced today to 9 years. Looks like she's going to be going to a penal colony for some hard labor. And we had a very interesting moment on the show regarding that, where I don't know if changed someone's mind is necessarily the right way to characterize it. But as you know, Dr. Kevin, people have their opinions, and it's very difficult to change someone's mind when it comes to politics on anything. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. In this day and age, it used to not be as bad. People used to be more.
Yeah,
open,
yeah.
But today,
yeah. Well, I seem to have changed someone's perspective a little bit on something. So something that I've been really horrified by is the glee with which a lot of Christian conservatives have been celebrating the peril that Brittany Griner has been in, and her being convicted and sentenced to 9 years in a penal colony in Russia. And because apparently, and I don't know enough about the history of, you know, I've never followed the WNBA. Honestly, I didn't even know who Brittany Griner was until all of this happened. But so I don't know enough about what exactly she has said and done, but apparently conservatives regard her as being extraordinarily unpatriotic, as she's been critical of America, as I guess at one point said she didn't feel the national anthem should be played before the games, something like that. Again, I don't know. So they're very happy. I see a lot of glee and celebration from Christian conservatives on social media. And I called that out today on my show, and I did make a reference to that. You know, there were a couple of people who I had seen doing that who really shocked me that they could be so cold and be so hateful as to be happy that an American citizen, regardless of politics, even if they hate everything about her politics, that they could be so happy to see this happening to someone and how unchristlike it is. And I expressed how disgusted I was in that. And someone called me, and he might even be listening to this program. So his name's Eric Pilcher. And Eric is a Christian conservative, and you know, obviously we disagree politically on quite a few things, but I like Eric tremendously. I've gotten to know him, and I really like him a lot. And he contributes to my show. He does a weekly segment for us every Friday, a non-political segment. Every Friday we have Eric Pilcher's classic film review. Every week he reviews a different classic film for us. This week it's Raging Bull. And so I like Eric a lot. He's a great guy. But he is one of the people who I saw on social media, very excited to see the suffering that Brittany Griner has been going through. And it's coming from him especially. I found it quite shocking. So I never mentioned him by name when I was criticizing the people who've been doing this. But I think he suspected that, you know, he was one of the people I had in mind. And he called the show. And he acknowledged, he said, Matt, you know, you're right. He said, I don't like her politics. I don't agree with the things that she said, but you're right about, I shouldn't be celebrating what's happening to her. She's an American citizen, and this is not good. What's happening to her is not right. And to be so gleeful about it is wrong. And I apologize to anyone I've offended with that. And mea culpa. And I was very impressed. And, you know, and I already like and respect Eric Pilcher, but I respect him even more now because most people will not do that. You know, even if they know they're wrong, most people will not say, you know what, I've been wrong about this and I shouldn't have taken this. I shouldn't have taken this tack. And so it was quite a moment on the show because that kind of thing very rarely happens, I think, on any show where somebody says, you know, I was wrong about this and I'm glad that I was able to be a positive influence on him in that way. So
that's great. It's nice to hear that, yeah. You know, he had this epiphany moment and he could own it. And, you know, I want to kind of comment on this from both sides, from kind of the both sides of the conservative Christian, that, because, you know, we've talked, I do TikToks and I put stuff out all the time about toxic Christianity. I mean, I mm-hmm. use the hashtag. If you put in the hashtag toxic Christianity, you're going to find a bunch of stuff from me about it. But it's, I always try to make it clear, you can tell a Christian by the action. If they're, that being said, you know, when, to me, he in action demonstrated what Christians say their Christian values are. And Christianity, especially for evangelicals or really conservative Christians, it's not an easy religion. I mean, it's saddled right up there with almost that underlying, underpinning, angry, vengeful God that Jesus came and said, I came in to replace the angry, vengeful God. I'm here to preach to you of love. And yeah. You know, and so it's not a religion I agree with. I pick at it all the time. But I also recognize that it's not an easy religion. This version, those versions of it, in of themselves are very conflictual. How can you say I have a loving God, and yet all your actions are I'm hateful and vengeful and judgmental, and I'm everything that Jesus said don't be anymore. Like, I've come to mm-hmm. replace it. And so I have a lot of respect that he could come back and say, hey, you're right. You know, this that's not a Christian action. And I think that this is one of the things that more people need to dive into is this idea of, you know, you you and your relationship with your religion, your God, whatever, is between the two of you. And if you're, and when you live in a hypocritical action versus what you're saying moment, you make a mockery of it, really. And yet I think that it's gotten so entwined that a lot of people who profess Christianity don't really even know what it means. They're clueless. Most of what they quote is from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
They don't quote stuff from the New Testament. I mean, I've heard two different dates espoused of when the word homosexuality as a sin came into the Bible. One was as late as 1980. I heard somebody say 1923, but I've had several people confirm 1980, and I haven't got my hands on a Bible from 1950s to find out if it was there. But it is recent. It is within the last 100 years. I mean, some of these things, it's like you are a Christian by your declaration, and that's between you and Jesus and God and Hail Mary, Our Father, Holy Trinity, whatever flavor. There are more flavors of Christianity than there are Baskin and Robin ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can be whatever flavor you want. Just stop telling me you're acting as a Christian when you're doing the hateful, angry, vengeful God thing. So I have a great deal of respect for him. He, to me, in that moment, actually displayed that he remembered what it was to be Christian. And
yeah,
he wasn't so in touch with it when he was making those things about Brittany and getting so excited and thrilled at the pain and misery of others.
Yeah, that's real Christian. Mm-hmm.
Right. The Christians were the ones that fed the lions to the Romans, fed Romans to the lions, right? Was that how the story went, Matt? You know, no. It was the Romans were horrible because they were feeding the Christians to them. And, you know, Jesus did this whole, like, not suffer thing. You know, like, suffering, not a good thing, don't suffer. And so taking joy out of people suffering, yeah, not very Christian. But again, it's a hard religion. And I like the songs of this guy, and I hope he's listening. Because if more Christians acted Christian, they would shut down the people who actually are clueless for what it means to be Christian, but just keep abusing the title in to justify their non-Christian actions. Good on
you. Yeah. Well, I have thought for a long time, Christianity really has nothing to do with Christ. It's political. I think the psychology of it is you can, as long as you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're cool. Then it doesn't matter what you do. You can be as hateful as you want to, because as long you've already accepted Christ, so you're covered. As long as you're sorry about it later, you know, as long as you ask for forgiveness from your Messiah, then you can really do whatever. You can be as hateful and mean as you want to be. And I think that's, I don't think most people who are Christians consciously think that. But that's what's in their minds. That's what's at least in the back of their minds, you know, subconsciously. And I think they sort of give themselves a free pass to behave that way.
Yeah. The what they say and the reality of their actions only match each other by pure accident and very occasionally. And I love the, well, but I pray for them.
Yeah.
Really? Why don't you pray for yourself to be a nicer person? Be a little less
sensible,
be a little less hateful. Why don't you let God take care of the judgment stuff? I think somewhere along the way that might have come up. I think that actually may have come out of Jesus' lips.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Yeah, you know, yo, Baba, you ain't got the right pay grade to be judgmental.
Yeah.
So but that's good. I'm going to ask you to open another can of worms. So I suspect we're going to hear music any moment now, if I'm reading the clock right. But there it is. When you come back, I'm curious to see your response to the new ad that Dick Cheney just put out.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time landing a job
and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Times. I'm here this week, as I always am, in the first Thursday of the month with none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday at 95.3 WMNH, or you can go on to mattconnerton.com or ipmnation.com, wherever you are in the world, and you can be part of his drive time show. Again, that's 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, Matt Connerton Unleashed. We have let Matt, because of the weather, keep the leash off, because it is almost 100 or 100 degrees right now.
It's hot.
It's hot. And so we're letting him continue to be leashless here on the Dr. Kevin Show. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can do so by calling in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So, and Eric, if you're listening, please call in. We'd love to hear from you. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that means you tuned in late and you'll have to go back into the replay and listen. So have you seen the ad? Did you see the ad Dick Cheney put out?
No, I haven't seen it. I didn't know about it, actually. So when you mentioned it, I Googled it. And so I see an article about it, Dick Cheney, saying no greater threat to our republic, referring to Donald Trump. Yeah, it says here, he says in the ad, in our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. Well, that's some pretty stark language there. And I don't often agree with Dick Cheney, but I agree with him on that.
Well, it's interesting because he also called him a coward in the ad. He refers to him as a coward. And he also says that he lied. He knew he lost the election. He knew he lost the election big. And he thinks that most Republicans in their heart of hearts knows that he lost the election big. And then he goes on to say how proud he is that Liz put the Constitution above, supporting supporting the threat of Donald Trump. She's still trailing, according to what I read. She's not trailing by as much as people might think that she would be trailing, but she is. She is trailing in in trying to get there, but trying to get the nomination to run again. But I want to bring this, and I want to hear what else you had to say about Alex Jones, because you said you had a ton of stuff you wanted to say. You didn't say it on your show. I think there's some deeper conversations we can have about that. But I want to ask you what you think of this forward party that has showed up.
I don't think I know about it. What's it called? The Forward Party?
The Forward Party.
I don't even know about it.
It is a combination of Republicans and Democrats, Republicans who can't support the Donald Trump presidency, and a bunch of Democrats who feel like that the Democrats have lost touch with the running of the country. They're called the New Forward Party. They've got millions. They've raised millions and millions of dollars in their war chest, which, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's a disgusting comment, the amount of money that's spent in elections. But they're like, don't go left, don't go right. If you want to move forward, we're the new party for you. One of the founders is Andrew Yang. It also Joe Sestak, Christine Todd Whitman. Again, it's supposed to have a pretty equal set of moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats that are throwing their way into the elections. They're going to be running their own people. They're saying now is the time that people are, nobody's loving either the Democrats nor the Republicans, except for the fringe. It's the fringe on both sides.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website. I see that, you know, of course, the Dems are, their mascot is a donkey and the Republicans is an elephant. The Forward Party has a ram, and that's pretty cool. But, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you know, I'm always hopeful that a third party can get some traction. Never seems to work out, but I'd love to see it. I prefer to vote third party. I'd rather vote third party than Democrat. The Republican Party is constantly shoving me leftward. So I end up voting Democrat, but I'd like to go back to voting for independents, you know?
Well, you know, the thing that, again, I've just been starting to follow it, is, and we'll see how it actually comes together, is they're actually saying, that they're looking, that they're going to be absorbing or bringing in other independent part, the other independent party. Like, I think there's something where the traditional independent party or parties may end up under this umbrella to actually create enough strength to make a difference. That's what I'm hearing, but I can't swear by that. I'm just putting it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I'd like to be more enthusiastic about it, but I'm always so skeptical. It's such a rigged system, the way the Democrats and Republicans have rigged it, you know?
Yep. Well, we'll see. They say that there are enough dissatisfied people on both sides that they'll get some people in seats, which, of course, even if you just got enough that neither party, they needed to romance the forwards to make anything happen, could work out well, could be a disaster. I mean, right. Can Washington be any more dysfunctional?
Right.
So, Alex Jones, what else was it that stood out to you besides the fact that I'm sure that his lawyer is probably going to get sued? I'm sure Alex is probably going to sue his lawyer for putting the Dropbox down, which is also getting him, because he had January 6th text. Which is obviously why they want to judge him. Talk to me about that. What do you think? What's going on? What else was it you wanted to talk about on your show you didn't get to?
Well, apparently, so Alex Jones is in so much trouble. And I was talking on the show today, too, about how, you know, Alex Jones, I remember when this whole Sandy Hook thing started, when he first found himself in legal trouble, I remember it had to be close to 5 years ago, because I actually remember discussing that very subject back when. So the studio that we're in here at WMNH, where I still am right now, this isn't the same studio that we were in when I first started doing my show here. We used to be in a smaller studio, about half the size, on another floor. And I remember being back in that smaller studio when I first started talking about Alex Jones and Sandy Hook. And I was today about how I used to, when people wanted to come on and do conspiracy theory stuff, there was a time when I would actually entertain some of that, not because I believed in any of it, because I don't, I never did. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But, you know, I would encounter these people who would want to come on, and I would let them come on for a bit and kind of spew some of their nonsense just for the entertainment value of it. But there came a point, and it was really this was where I first started to realize that this conspiracy theory stuff is actually quite dangerous, because when people buy into it and they become activated by it. So, for example, when Alex Jones started saying that these children who were murdered weren't real, that these alleged grieving parents were actually crisis actors pretending to be grieving parents, these families started, you know, on top of the fact that they're already grieving, and I assume that's something you never get over, having a child murdered, these families started to be threatened by some of these these brainwashed idiots who believe in what Alex Jones peddles. And, you know, if you're someone who's weak-minded enough to actually believe what Alex Jones is telling you, and he's telling you that this is all part of some plot, you know, to take your guns away or whatever, and we have to stop it, you know, then I can see how someone who's in that mindset might pick up a gun and go after one of these families, thinking that you know they're actually part of some grand conspiracy. So that was really the beginning of me not wanting to entertain any of that nonsense on my show anymore. Is I began to see it as dangerous. And in fact, I heard from someone maybe 3 or 4 months ago who had been on the show before, who's a big conspiracy guy, who wanted to come on, and I had to tell him, nah, we've gone in a different direction with the show. We're not going to do that anymore. And it's someone I like who I don't think is dangerous at all, but I had to do that. But he's in a lot of trouble now because, for one thing, not only is he going to lose everything he has in terms of what he's going to have to give to these families, because they're going to get him for everything he's worth. Also, he might end up in jail for perjury, because he had perjured himself. He had claimed before that there were no text messages regarding Sandy Hook, and now it turns out there are. His lawyers apparently asked for a mistrial over this mistake. Not only are they not getting their mistrial, but the January 6th committee is going to have access to these to all of this data. It's 2 years worth of text messages, 3 gigs worth of data, and the January 6th committee is now going to have access to it as well. So there's multiple layers to this, but he's in a world of trouble, and it's just fascinating to watch. And I don't know if I ever told you this. I know I've talked about this on my show. I don't know if I've ever shared it with you, but I've always suspected that Alex Jones doesn't believe his own BS, that he's sort of playing a character that he's developed and cultivated, you know, as because it's obviously been very successful for him. And I had a conversation once with Angela Keaton from antiwar.com. I don't know if she still runs that website, but Angela, she and Alex Jones got started together back in Texas as these sort of anti-war activists. And she told me that when Alex Jones started out, he was just kind of a normal anti-war activist. But once he found a way to actually make money with his content, with what he was doing, he began to change. And he began to go down that conspiracy theory rabbit hole. Because I had asked Angela, I said, "What? Tell me about his origin story, because you were there for the beginning of Alex Jones. Is he legit? Does he really believe all of this? Or is it all an act? Or is it somewhere in between?" And she wouldn't say that she thought it was an act, but she did indicate that he wasn't always like this and that things changed when the money started coming in. So, but he's in a world of trouble now. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Things always change when the money comes rolling in.
Sure.
When you start making money hand over fist, and some of the money, I mean, he was saying, you know, that he didn't make any money. I think that's one of his, what his perjury things, when there was evidence that he made $800,000 in a day, $800,000. And yet he was going to, didn't have the money to pay, and he couldn't declare. And he said there was a discussion of him declaring bankruptcy and all of this stuff. So yeah, I mean, he's screwed.
Well, and that might be another thing. He's in trouble for too, is bankruptcy fraud, trying to declare bankruptcy to get out of having to pay this judgment, when in fact he has enough money to pay the judgment, but he's just trying to file the bankruptcy to get out of paying. That's actually illegal, and he might go down for that as well.
Yep. And it will be interesting to see who he takes down with him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are some other big names that are associated themselves with him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we will be right back in a moment here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, 202-7057. Yes, I know the number, 202-570-7057. Ah, and I'm not even out walking in the heat, and I couldn't get it right. So, anything else about Alex Jones before we move on to the next little fun conversation I want to have of stuff that's up?
I think the only thing I might add is I always kind of wonder, does he actually believe in any of his BS? Or, well, I mean, I my suspicion is he believes in none of it and it's all just making money. But there's always that part of me that's open to the idea that maybe he actually does believe some of it and he's severely mentally ill, but probably not. I think it's just all a money-making scam to him, and he's just a bad guy who has profited from this. And I guess that's the only thing I would add about him.
Okay. So, any comment on all of the ads that Fetterman has been running against New Jersey resident Dr. Oz, who's not polling well, whose numbers are dismal, what do you think? Have you seen these ads? Have you enjoyed them? Taken any great delight? Or what do you think?
Yeah, they're good ads, and you know they're clever, and you can always get more people's attention with humor. And if you can engage people in a humorous way, they'll like you more. So I think it's a good strategy. And Dr. Oz, hopefully Fetterman wins. I mean, obviously the one big concern with Fetterman is his health. And I'm not sure that he's been entirely transparent on the issue of his health, but I think the ads are good. I don't think Dr. Oz has really been able to fire back with much, actually, that I've seen. So
he's talked about him living off his father's money is the only thing that stood out that he said, that I don't know how much, you know, I mean, Dr. Oz lives off the money of all the people he scammed by all of the things he got behind that were miraculous. I'd rather vote for somebody who lived off daddy's money for a while versus somebody who lives off scamming people who have health issues and have mental health issues, and who he uses the same scam lines just repurposed over and over again, who's basically been vilified as a quack by his own colleagues, which makes him perfect for politics. I get that.
Yeah.
But, so did you see about the Breonna Taylor, the Fed charges against the police officers that were involved in the Breonna Taylor murder?
Yeah, that was something I was going to try to get to today and never got to. The EAS is going off here. There must be a storm coming. Wow, it's gone for a really long time. Okay. What's that?
What's going on?
There it is. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Kevin. I'm still in the studio. The EAS system was going off, and I was listening to make sure that it was a weather alert and not, missiles are in the air. That's been a habit of mine since I was a kid. You know, when an EAS is going off, I have to make sure that we're not all about to die and that it's just a severe thunderstorm. Breonna Taylor. So, yeah, that story is much more complex than I realized. We're learning now from this, was it the FBI or the Department of Justice directly who was investigating? I think it was an FBI investigation that, we're finding out now that these cops involved, it wasn't just a matter of cops making a mistake or even just being reckless. You know, the one who was firing into the apartment window. But there was an actual conspiracy here, and it's all much more sinister than, because I think initially it was like, okay, these cops were reckless and stupid and they should be punished and none of this should have happened. But now we're learning, there was a lot of dishonesty and malfeasance by these police, and that warrant never should have been issued to begin with. And, it's pretty shocking what we're learning. Sound like a sidebar to that, but the thing that I always say, I don't know if we've ever discussed this specifically on your show, Dr. Kevin, but I am opposed to the drug war. I always have been. I don't just want to legalize cannabis. I want to end the drug war entirely, similar to what they did in Portugal, with very positive results. And this is an example of why. If there were no drug war, what happened to Breonna Taylor would not have happened. And I don't mean to say that to distract from the way these police acted or anything like that, but I like to remind people of that. It doesn't happen if there is no drug war, because there would be no reason to even, if you're not concerned with, is someone, trafficking or whatever, if you're not worried about that, then this whole scenario doesn't happen. But it's really bad what these cops did. And again, Breonna Taylor, as Jenny likes to point out, she was a first responder. She was an EMT, and she had to lie there bleeding to death. And they let her bleed to death, and it's just so sad, and it makes me so angry. But now we're learning just how bad this really was. This wasn't simply a matter of some cops made a dumb mistake or an error in judgment or oops, wrong house, because that does happen sometimes. This goes far deeper, and it's very shocking.
Talk to me more about the Portugal reference.
In Portugal, what they did years ago was they decided to, people misunderstand it. Basically, they ended the drug war in Portugal. And some people think that means, so they just legalized everything and it's a free-for-all. That's not what they did. But what they did do is they went full legal on cannabis and they hard drugs, so cocaine and heroin and everything. They didn't go full legal on that, but they did decriminalize it. So they stopped treating addicts like criminals. So if you get caught using something, you're not going to prison. You're not treated like a criminal. Instead, they're going to get you help to get you the medical help that you need, and treating your addiction like a medical issue, not like you are a dangerous criminal who they have to get off the street. This approach has worked spectacularly well in, in doing this, you eliminate the drug related violence. For example, you don't have competing drug dealers shooting each other in the street, because you've effectively killed the black market. It's out in the open, but you still can't be out in the open selling illicit substances. Hard drugs are not legalized. They're decriminalized. So, you know, if you're using, that's one thing. But if you get caught selling, so say, for example, you get caught selling heroin near the schoolyard, you are still going to get But by decriminalizing everything and not treating addicts like criminals, really gone down. The rate of drug overdose has gone down in Portugal. Violent crime related to drugs has plummeted. It has been very successful for Portugal, and I would like to do the same thing in the United States. Whenever I bring it up on my show, you know, people push back and people misunderstand. You know, people we're trained to be such binary thinkers instead of thinking using critical thinking skills and nuance. So when people hear me say that, there's always people who say, oh, so you just want it to be a free for all where everyone can just do all the drugs they want. And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. I just want to treat the problem very differently because it's not like what we're doing now is working so great. So I think we should try what Portugal did. But anyway, that's the Portugal reference.
Very interesting. I had forgotten a bunch of the details. I know I'd heard about it, but I frankly couldn't move them from the back of my brain to the front of my brain. And thank you for sharing that, because I also wanted, you know, but I also wanted people to know out there what you were talking about, because you talked about, you talked about it on your show several times, but we've never talked about it here. So
So
I'm glad that you got a chance to share that approach. But, you know, in America, let's just face it, anytime the word war goes behind it, you have millions of dollars of profit that are flowing through lobbyists, into Congress, into DOD, whatever the war is. Even the drug war then takes the very profitable penal system and makes money off of it. And so, you know, the word war to all the warmongers is just a stream of income. They don't give a shit about the war. They don't give a shit about those people. They could care less. You know, the people in all of these countries could do whatever the hell they wanted. They don't care. They just want to make money. And they can do it under waving the patriotic flag of America, which, if you look at it, is got all sorts of brown stains on it because they've shit on it so much in between waving it, because that's how they treat their voters. No, we can't afford socialized medicine. We have another 100 million that we have to put in the DOD to get better weapons. My tank's bigger than your tank. And I just, you know, my stock just went up and I just got this and I got that, and, you know, and I can buy my 10th home. Well, the average income in my district is, you know, below the poverty level. Have you seen any of the Texas Mothers ads against Governor Abbott?
No, I haven't seen those.
Oh my God, you want to look these up. They show all of these different women, mothers of Texas. They have been rolling out ad after ad after ad. They are determined to get Abbott out of office. And they have there's the farm woman, there's the suburb mom, but these are moms against, I'm trying to think of it, I think it's actually Moms Against Abbott, I think is the title, but they've done some really great commercials. They're really going after him. He's actually gotten flustered a couple of times about some of these ads. So you definitely want to check those out. I'm going to see if I can get the, because they do a lot of, because it's called Mothers. and it's at Mums AG Abbott.
Okay.
And they put out some great commercials. And they're swearing they're going to take him down.
Yeah,
I find that.
Love to see it.
Yeah. So you want to check that out. And listeners, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. I like it. I retweet them. I'm all about it. What do you think about DeSantis taking down an elected state attorney over he took down the elected attorney out of Tampa, I think it was, because he said he wouldn't prosecute criminalized abortion, which a lot of them have said.
Yeah.
And he was elected, but DeSantis has benched him. Where do you think that's going to go? Can he actually bench him? He hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I don't see how, but I don't know. I don't know how it works in Florida, but DeSantis is a psychopath.
Okay, well, Matt, we have another month of fun and playtime. I will talk to you
All right, Dr. Kevin. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.